korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bu lan. Dağdaş doğdan dur bu da moro da.
All right, let's talk about the most beautiful, badass fighter, a woman that's fought,
yes.
A woman that's fought 7 times in 14 months. That's more than like Dominic Cruz, John Jones. I mean, you name them all together that haven't fought 17 times. This girl had a fight during the podcast. Like she actually, before the fight, was beating the shit out of somebody in the other room. Angela Hill, how are you?
Hey, I missed half of your awesome introduction, so you're going to have to compliment me again.
I was saying that you said
that. No, I'm joking. I got it. No.
Dude, you're killing the game. You're killing the game. I am so proud of you because, look, I was a fan of yours on The Ultimate Fighter. I was a fan when you got cut, went to Invicta. I came to your fights then. And then when you took the fight against on the short notice fight, that I was like, she's crazy, and you did awesome against what was it, like mini Vanderlei?
Andrade.
And now you are.
Trapasaurus.
And you're killing the game. Are you happy?
Yeah, man, I'm pretty happy. You know, it sucks that my last fight was technically a loss, but I feel like I'm almost being treated as if it was a win. Like everyone suddenly, like my following is boosted. I guess my street cred is boosted. People are starting to say that I'm going to be the next champ, which didn't really happen before I fought Gedalia. Like, every now and then I get like a hardcore fan and be like, you're going to be next champ. And I'm like, shut up. Shut up. You just like me. But now it's like people who were fans of Gedalia are telling me that. So I feel really positive after this loss. It does suck that I, you know, didn't get the win bonus or didn't get an actual win on my record, but it's given me a lot to look at, and I think that I'm going to improve more just from this fight being a loss as opposed to having the same performance and it being a win. So it's just lit a fire under me, and yeah, I feel happy. I'm in a very positive state of mind right now.
Do you think it was like, because this is my theory on why you're so good, and tell me if you think I'm right, because when you got to the UFC, you were 17-0 as a kickboxer. You had like zero wrestling experience. I mean, you were just so brand new, and that was, everyone was like, that was your Achilles heel. But because you then, like, your learning curve, like, you got so good now versus if you would have been a wrestler at like age 5, you would maybe peaked out by the time you were 20, 21. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think my mentality and just being thrown to the wolves so fast, so soon in my career, has really forced me to do one of two things: either quit or get better. And so I chose to get better. And I think a lot of people, you see them come to that crossroad a little too late in their career, and it's like, oh shit, like someone can actually beat me, and they can't take it. You know, they can't take the fact that, oh, now all the fights are going to be hard. I'm actually going to fight people who are as talented as I am. And for me, I just came in and was like, I'm going to knock you out. And they're like, nope. And then I'm like, fuck, well, I guess I got to learn how to do this now. Right. I was able to just get really thick skin really early in my career. And even with the ups and downs, like even now, you know, I honestly feel like I won 7 out of the last 8 fights that I've had, you know, but just because of the way that judging works, that's not the case. But, you know, I feel like most people would have quit if they had my career path, and the fact that I was able to take it and use it to continue to grow and get better, I feel like when I do get the belt, like, no one's gonna take that away from me.
I believe it. I mean, you've been killing the game. And I was doing research about you. There's so much crazy stuff about your life. Your grandparents were abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
It was a famous case. Tell me about this.
If you Google Barney and Betty Hill, Barney Hill is my grandfather. Betty Hill is his second wife that my grandmother always talks shit about. But Barney and Betty Hill, they went up to New Hampshire. They went somewhere, I forget where, for a vacation. And the cool thing or the crazy thing about the story is that my dad was a kid at the time and he almost went with them, but he had to stay back because his dog got sick. So he always thinks like, ah, shit, what if I had gone with them? Like, I could have gotten abducted too. They could have done some weird experiments on him. Like, I could have been part alien, you know? So, right. So it's always funny to think of like what could have happened, but he didn't go. So it was just my dad, my grandfather and his wife, Betty, and they went up and on the way back, they realized they lost like, they lost a bunch of time, like maybe 6 hours of time on the road trip back. And they're like, what happened? And they kind of just wrote it off as some weird whatever, like just they were tripping or something. But then they started to have nightmares. And once they started talking about it, they realized they were having the same nightmares, the same like events, like being dragged out of the car, seeing the big lights in the sky. Just crazy wow. stuff like that being brought onto the spaceship. So then they got this guy to hypnotize them, and they both had identical stories up to the part where like the aliens like took them into separate rooms. They had identical stories of being abducted, like the whole like seeing the spaceship in the sky, and then it comes down and lands in front of them and stops their car. Drags out my grandfather. Betty goes out willingly because she's a crazy white woman. But it was nuts. So I think it's a really cool story, and that it's kind of one of those stories that I grew up believing in just as much as like you know believing in religion and all and Santa Claus and all that shit. But I still think that it's real. You know,
their watches stopped working. They said their watches never worked again.
What's that?
Their watches didn't work after that. Their watches stopped working.
Oh, I don't remember that detail. Is that in there?
Yeah, it's in there too. The clocks worked after that.
No. Yeah, they had all sorts of crazy shit. Like, my grandfather had like a weird rash around his groin. So like they've all been there. Some crazy girl crazy chick from another galaxy they took like a sample from my grandfather, and like they popped his dentures out, and like the tops of his shoes were scuffed because they dragged him from the car to the spaceship, so like he could still see the scuffs on his shoes, and he's like, oh, how'd my shoes get scuffed, you know? There's all sorts of like crazy little details. And there's a galaxy that they showed to Betty, and she was able to draw it out, and they ended up finding like that galaxy late, like maybe 10 years after the abduction, the Zeta Reticuli or something like that. There's all sorts of crazy details. Like I'm not as much of an alien nut as the people who know like every single detail of it, but I used to be deep into it, and like I started freaking myself out, so I backed off of it for a while.
That's crazy. I mean your grandpa must have had the coolest stories at Christmas. Like who else?
I actually never got to meet him. He died in like I think he died in the 70s or the 60s or 70s. The 70s. Yeah, so I never got to meet him. And then Betty died before I got to meet her too, because I was doing all this research on it when I was in college, and I'm like, man, I need to go meet Betty and just be like, hey, I'm like your man's granddaughter. But then she died like maybe when was it? I think 2006 or something. So I just missed out on meeting her. So yeah, but like I've talked to my dad about it. He's actually kind of he's a little shook by the whole thing still. Like he has this mentality where like don't ask questions that you don't want to know the answers to. So yeah, my dad's never been big into aliens or anything like that, even though he totally believes the story.
It was
actually
pretty nice
happened.
Aliens to like give him back. I mean, they didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Right?
Catch and release. I feel like they did something. I feel like they must have done something. And my grandfather died from a brain hemorrhage. So I always felt like maybe there was something up with that, like maybe the two events were connected or something. Like he died pretty young. So
Greg, any thoughts on these aliens?
Well, I mean, listen, to me, the idea that there aren't aliens is crazier than the idea that there are.
Right.
You know? I mean, all you gotta do is look up at all those stars and be like, we're the only ones. That's impossible. And then one of the things, because I've been fascinated by it, you know, and one of the things they tell you that in the UFO experience, you know, there's no unifying factor among the types of people that have had this experience, but there's a ton of unifying factors in their experience.
Right.
And to me, all of it just adds up to the very obvious thing that, yeah, we've been visited, you know, and I'm sure it's happened for millennia. They've been coming to this planet and stuff. And when you hear these stories, it's just like, I don't know. To me, I'm all engaged. I'm like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't, there's no part of me that doubts it. I believe it's 100% real.
I'm convinced Roxanne Modafferi is an alien. I love Roxy, but she can't be real.
She's like, a Super Saiyan.
She's right.
Yeah, she has a little monkey tail.
I love her, but there's something. Now what's crazy about you? So the hair. I love your hair, by the way. When did this? What made you decide to go longer?
It's really just a protective style if you want to get into black hair. So so it's a protective style. I love fighting with my hair big, but it shrinks like a motherfucker when I cut weight and stuff. So most people don't know this, but like if you have tight curls and you pull it out, like blow it out, like with a hair dryer or whatever, as soon as it gets a little wet, it starts to shrink. So that's like where all those like stereotypes, like don't get a black woman's hair wet. It's true because we all have a tight curl pattern. So whatever we do to make it straight, once you get it wet, it just reverses it. So it reverts back to its original curl pattern. So I like my hair being big. So I've been trying to grow it out recently. And when I train, my hair gets ripped out all the time when it's in the afro. Like if you look at anyone with Velcro is basically like my kryptonite, because if you look at the way Velcro connects, you have like a fuzzy side that looks like my hair, and then you have like the hard side that attaches. So every day I'm like, you know, like ripping someone's Velcro out of my hair. So yeah, the long hair is like, it's cute, but it's also functional. It keeps my hair from getting ripped out by my training partners.
Got it. Because I remember I was sitting with somebody, I think it was Jay Haran, and I was like, you see Angela Hill? And he goes, damn. Like, because you were like you don't like, I don't know how to say it without being like offensive. But like,
just offend me.
But when you like, when you get dressed up, you really get dressed up. Like at the fights, you wear these tight ass, and I think people are just like, who's that? And then like, definitely like,
whose girlfriend is that?
Right, exactly.
Hey, that's the look I was going for. So thanks.
No problem. I remember one time you were walking out, and I like your husband a lot. He's a super nice guy. You guys still married, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You don't know how many times I've been like, I love your boyfriend. Oh, we're divorced. I'm like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, some like big black dude walks out the bathroom like, oh hey.
I was at one of your fights and you were walking out and somebody was like, you're gonna lose, right? And it was the guy next to me, but I didn't know the person, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then your boyfriend or your husband just gives him the middle finger.
Like, yeah.
As you're walking to the octagon. And I was like, That's pretty cool.
He's hardcore. He's not one to be fucked with. Like I feel like I'm pretty calm as a person, and he's like the yin to my yang. Like he's the exact opposite. Like if you cross us, especially me, if you try to fuck with me, he's like, you know, ready to pounce immediately. Yeah. So I'm happy that they did that when I was walking out and he was busy with something as opposed to doing it like afterwards or before, then, you know, that guy would have got slapped. But
I
like it.
No,
he's my guard dog.
It was cool. But you guys were like homeless together at one point. I mean, you guys were living in a gym together, right?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't homeless. Like, we always had a place to go, but we definitely did the whole, like, living at the gym, you know, cleaning up in order to pay for my training and, you know, all the cliche origin stories like that, rags to riches. But we always had, like, a good security net. Like, my parents could always, like, you know, chip in if I needed it, or his parents or whatever. But, like, yeah, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make our own way. And so that first year in the UFC, where, like, I wasn't really making any money, I moved from New York to North Carolina, and, like, we didn't want to, like, jump into another apartment because we didn't have shit. Like, we saved up all our money so we could both start working and move, and then we didn't really have much extra. So yeah, I was living at the gym. I lived at the gym for maybe a year, which was also a church.
Wow.
And then eventually just,
there you go.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow. That's just efficient right there.
Yeah, right?
You know,
yeah.
It all in one place.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to church, so living in one should help. Just in case, yeah. You know. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we've had a crazy ride together. We've been through a lot together.
I love it. Now, and then what kind of, like, when I see you, I think, like, classy, fun, but not a wild girl. But then I'm like, I was thinking, like, what was you like in high school and college? Like, were you like a girl that just, like, put out at parties? Or were you like a girl that was, like, reserved? Were you like a one boyfriend kind of girl?
Dude, I was such a dork. I was a huge, huge dork. Like, I can't even say nerd, because nerd kind of makes you seem cool. But, but no, I was just like, quiet and lame, you know. So I went to a high school, Suitland High School, and it's like one of those high schools, like, it's still kind of hood, but it has an arts program. So they had, like, arts, drama, band, or music, I guess, and I was there in the art program. So, like, we called ourselves the Annex Kids because we were a little different from the main building kids. Like, we were, like, way less cool. and yeah, it was kind of a cool way to do high school. It was like all these, like, Glee type shows, you know. Like, we would go and we'd just work on art. We'd paint, we'd draw, and then the other half of the day we're doing normal high school stuff like math and history and trying not to stand out too much, you know, in the cafeteria and all that awkward stuff. So yeah, I was super awkward, super quiet. So anyone who knew me in high school, who remembered me in high school and knows that I'm a UFC fighter now, they're just like, whoa, what the fuck, you know, like, how and why. You know, but yeah, everyone seems pretty impressed with my, I don't know, my evolution as a person.
No, I mean, it's amazing. I think that, like, what's cool about you is that you could, you're, like, beautiful and sexy and strong without being slutty. You don't have, you know, like a lot of times I feel like a lot of these girls are just, like, they're pretty, but it's too much. Like, yeah. even like the Bellator girl, I forgot her name. The girl, she's, like, she's kind of big. She's a Taekwondo girl. She was
Gabby Garcia.
No, she's undefeated in Bellator. No, she's hot. Don't get me
Gabby's
wrong.
Gabby's got some pictures out there.
Don't get me wrong. The girl's hot, but it's almost like you're like, okay, we get it. Like, we get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no...
I don't know who you're talking. There's a few people like that.
The one that was fighting with the girl in the UFC. There was a lesbian girl in the UFC. Well, a girl is a lesbian in the UFC that was like, I get it. This is not empowering women. Do we have to do this to sell ourselves? They were fighting with each other. The girl that won the Ultimate Fighter was fighting with her. The girl with the short hair.
Nico? Nico Montani?
Well, after that, the year after. The girl with, like, she lost. She beat Jillian Anderson, the girl, but then she lost to somebody that was pretty good. Forgot. She was fighting with the other girl.
Oh, that big, tall girl?
Yeah, she was fighting with the
big, tall, scary-looking girl.
The one that, like, yeah. The one that Luke Rockhold tried to get into her DM And then Mothball. And then
Dude, I've missed all the gossip. I need to watch your show more. I missed all of this.
Then Mothball was like, fucking, she's taken or something. And it was like, he just like slammed her. There was this.
Oh, man.
Anyway, she's a hot girl, but she's always like bouncing with fucking pasties and showing how hot she is. Or like deep throating her fucking. For like, you know.
Okay, and now you can't think of her name. Now you can't think of her name. Now I know her name.
Felice Herring.
No, not Felice. She's like Felice.
Y'all are naming all the like.
She's like Felice 3.0. I mean, she's like.
Dude, fuck. It's so funny. It's like having one of those commercials that are really catchy, but you have no idea what they're advertising. Like, it totally defeated the purpose.
The marketing.
Like that hot girl.
But it's backfired the whole girl.
I've been researching hot Bellator chicks for the past 10 minutes. I think you're talking about Heather Hardy.
No. That I'm not talking about Heather Hardy. She's like,
Adam, I Googled fighters at Deep Throat and I came up Brendan Schaub. Like, I don't know what happened there.
No, she's like Latina, this girl. You know what I'm talking about?
McCorkle's here. She's McCorkle's here.
Was she in our MMA Babes video?
I think she might have been. She's an undefeated Latin girl from out of American Top Team.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. It starts with a V, right?
Yeah.
Or an L.
The point is that she's really hot. And I think I was
just looking at her page.
I'm not hating on this girl. Like, yeah. If that's what you want to do, do it. I'm just saying that preferably, I think you're doing it the right way. Because, like, that last thing you posted on Instagram, where you're like, your ass is out, but you can sort of see it, but you can't. And you're like,
yeah, it's just a little peek.
Yeah, where it's like... You know
to be honest, though, I think it's more out of respect for my husband, because like the quick returns you get from putting your ass out there are insane. Like, Razor Blades, Curtis Blades was kind of being made fun of for calling it out, but it's true. Like, a lot of people are in there and they're ranked and they're getting better opportunities, like a better fights or whatever, or more publicity just because they're getting their ass out and getting their followers up. So then... you don't have to do as much work to promote them. You know, they're marketing themselves, so you don't have to like worry about that side of it. So I get it. You know, I totally get it. But I try to keep it PC just so, you know, poor my husband, Adam doesn't have to, you know, imagine random guys jerking off to my Instagram.
Yeah, no,
every day. Like,
well, there's the truth. I mean, that, yeah, if you want to be honest.
Yeah, he has a pretty.
And I would like to say, you know, that marketing doesn't always work. I've been showing my ass for years. No one gives a shit. So,
oh, man.
By the way, I'm not slut shaming. I'm going to look at the picture and be like, wow, that's a fucking good looking ass. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is disgusting. Go ahead. Yeah. I'd rather have that than a turtleneck any day of the week. Okay. I'm just, hey, McCorkle.
Yes, sir.
Can you turn your volume down a little bit?
My volume?
Yeah. Just echo.
Echo, yeah.
Or you put in headphones.
I'm not going to.
Is that any better?
I'm just saying, like, I could see, like, if I was, yeah, it's perfect. If I was your husband, Angela, I would like, just the amount of, like, where you're like, damn, she's hot, without feeling like you know what she ate for lunch.
Knowing where exactly the hole is.
Yeah, exactly. Through the camel toe.
Yeah. That's so funny.
By the way, so we got Sean McCorkle, by the way, who is now a regular segment, the McCorkle Minute, where he's going to do a couple minutes of stand-up comedy. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. I'm a huge fan of Sean McCorkle. He's killing the game. You've seen him, people, from Indiana. This guy tapped out Mark Hunt in 49 seconds. Please give it up for Sean McCorkle.
Yay!
Hey.
I turned the volume all the way down, but I'm going to assume there was a bunch of laughter and clapping. So
Yes.
All right, Adam, this is what I got to start with this week. I'm sure you guys all saw John Jones with the controversy on Twitter last night. He was very upset. I think he's trolling, but maybe not. He was upset because there was a pair of pants at a Hollister store that said black Negro on it. And he was like, can you believe they have a pair of jeans called black Negros on here? And apparently it was just in Spanish, you know, for the Spanish-speaking people. to buy. But the real question I had, the thing that confused me, is what was John Jones doing in a Hollister to begin with? You know, right. Like, he's a pretty big dude. What's he doing? And then I asked around a little bit. My sources told me apparently his 13-year-old niece had a date with Chris D'Elia. So
there it is.
So
I don't know who that is.
Alrighty. Hey, did you see the 30 for 30 with Bruce Lee? I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah. It was called Like Water. You know, he always said that people should be like water or something, like martial artists, you know? And I won a ton of money the last time Angela fought, because I'm a rabid MMA better. So I always have won money on her. When you told me she'd be on the show today, I was like, tell her thanks, because I won a bunch of money on her. I got murdered on the Bruce Leroy fight last week. I mean, I had him losing that fight like 9 different parlays, you know. So when he won, he looked the best he's ever looked. I was like, man, they need to do a 30 for 30 on Bruce Leroy, and they should call it like Colt 45. I don't know. Because he's Bruce Leroy, right? All right. So that was the weak one. Your buddy Brendan Schaub that we were talking about earlier, Adam. He's got a guy. Do you know his production assistant named Chin? Have you ever seen him?
No.
He's got a guy that he depends on everything. This guy Chin does like everything for the show. He's kind of like Joe Rogan's Jamie, you know, like does everything for him. Well, I guess he's recently announced he's leaving the show. You know, like, I don't know what's going on. And I was thinking how ironic it is that Brendan Schaub finally feels like he's getting somewhere, just to find out he won't have a career anymore because he has no Chin. So that was ironic.
That was good.
I like
speaking
puns.
Of Asian guys and Brendan Schaub. Now, you guys saw a few weeks ago when Kim Jong-un disappeared, right? For like 3 weeks, everybody thought he was dead. They thought coronavirus had got him. You know, like, there was all kind of different like rumors going around that what had happened to him. And I had said a few weeks before that the whole North Korea crisis had been solved easily because Donald Trump had threatened North Korea that if they didn't quit doing their nuclear test, he was going to send Brendan Schaub on a nationwide comedy tour and bomb the shit out of every city in North Korea, bombing all over North Korea. So that, you know, I didn't surprise when he disappeared, but then actually Schaub was instrumental in finding Kim Jong-un, because if there's anybody that can find an Asian jerk-off place, it's, or Asian jerk-off any place, it's Brendan Schaub. I don't know if you guys heard that rumor. That's a good joke if you heard it. Apparently no one has. All right.
Sounds like a good one.
You got to get it out in one straight shot. It was
all right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, lastly, to continue the disappointment, I was cracking up this morning watching Dana White had an interview. And Dana's, man, he's getting really tired in his older years, I guess, or people like asking the same questions over and over again. So they asked him about, what is John Jones fighting again? And he said he's retired. That was just his response. He's retired. He said, what about Nate Diaz? And Dana says, I heard he was retired. He said, what about George Masvidal? He said, last I heard, he was retired. He said, what about Henry Cejudo coming back and fighting at 145? He said, he's retired. So they were getting down, you know, pretty low on the list. I said, well, what about Brendan Schaub? And he said, he's retarded. And then I guess that was a little bit politically incorrect. I should have said he's Down syndrome.
Got so it.
That would have been more politically correct.
He's Down syndrome.
All right, that's what you say anymore. I had a dream today. This is the truth. I woke up unfilmed today. I just had a 3-hour dream that me and George Masvidal were hanging out with a midget baby, stealing people's weed. I don't even smoke weed, but I dreamed we were stealing people's weed, hanging out with a midget baby all night. It was like a 2-hour dream, and George kept telling me why he didn't want to fight anymore and like trying to plead his case on a contract with me. I just kept telling George, I agree, man, you should be paid more. That's not a joke. That really happened. So I had like a 3-hour George Masvidal dream that was really odd. Which made me think of that joke about me having Down syndrome, apparently. No, but that's it for the minute today.
Hey. Great job. Beautiful. Give it up for Sean McCarkle. See you next week. Sean, I love you, man. I love you.
I love you, dude.
Take care, brother.
See you guys.
Peace.
All right. That was Sean McCarkle.
Oh, man.
By the way, so I guess this John Jones says he's retired. He wants to box Mike Tyson. And then in a boxing match, but then Tyson has to do an MMA fight against him. Look, I'm going to watch it. Okay. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to pay for this. I think that Tyson destroys him in boxing and Jones destroys him in MMA. Is that, Angela, am I crazy for thinking this, or is that pretty much what's going to happen.
For thinking you're going to watch it? No.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, everyone's going to watch that shit. I was stoked, man. I'm all down for, like, people getting paid, and that's definitely a fight everyone would fucking tune in for. And, yeah, everyone knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's still cool, you know? It's still cool to see it happen.
I mean, you're a striker, though. Does a 35-year-old John Jones have any shot against a 55-year-old Mike Tyson in boxing?
I don't know what the drop-off is for boxers, you know, but Mike Tyson's so fucking good. And, like, I think if you ever get jabbed, if you ever, like, I felt a jab from, like, a legit boxer before, it was just messing around. And it feels so much different from all the pro, like, high-level MMA fighters' jabs. Like, it just feels like you're getting prodded with a steel pole, you know? So it's definitely a difference, you know? Like, just because they only focus on those moves, they only focus on boxing, they're so much more sharp, and they understand so many more mechanics than we ever get to. Like, we'll never get to that level where we're understanding boxing mechanics in the way that Mike Tyson is. But people don't think about that. They just see, like, oh, fights, people getting punched in the face. It's going to be cool. Anyone can win. But, yeah, I don't think that's – I definitely don't think that's the case. I'm not too versed in, like, how long it takes for someone who's that good in boxing to, like – for like, the young up-and-comers who aren't as good but just younger. I don't know, like, when they meet skill-wise. But I've seen the videos. Like, Mike Tyson still looks, like, scary as fuck, man.
Greg, thoughts?
What's that?
What are your thoughts on this fight?
Oh, I thought you said Greg Fox.
No,
and
no,
I'm like, whenever my wife lets me, yeah, Greg Fox. Greg Fox when his wife lets him. That's exactly right. No, I mean, I you know what? It's so funny. It's like, you know, when Connor fought, you know, what's his name? The money team. It's like, it did seem like it would be more fair if he gave him a shot in the MMA ring too. I mean, that does seem the only real way to size it up.
Yeah.
Is to have, and yeah, I'd pay to see it. I guess. Yeah, I'd pay to see both.
I'm not going to learn how to do a double leg or
a no. Yeah. I mean, anytime a boxer gets in there to the MMA cages, legs, they get them on the ground and their legs just stick out, you know, doing nothing, you know, just waiting for the upper body to do the rest. And it becomes very obvious they don't belong in there. But I think that would be the fairest way of doing it. And I'd pay to see both. It'd be great if they could do both on the same night.
I got to
ask. Oh,
yeah. I got to ask. Back in the day, Angela, you were part of that crew in San Diego with Magana and Rowdy Beck. And they were always posting boob shots or deep-throating bananas or something. Like, was that legit? Were they wild party girls, or was that just all for the Instagram?
No, they get wild. They get wild. They like to party. I never really partied with Magana outside of the house. But Beck's a lot of fun. Yeah, Beck's a lot of fun to party with. Like, she doesn't get too rowdy to the point where you're like, oh, now I gotta drag this bitch home. You know, like, she's like the right amount of crazy, fun, spontaneous, but also responsible about her own ass. Like, you don't have to, like, call her a cab, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
Now, but what happened now, like, you're like a staple. Like, you and Phil Davis and Dominic Cruz are, like, the staple of your gym in San Diego. I feel like you guys are, like, the OGs. But then you got people that come in, like Kat Zingano, I think, is there now, right? And
She came in for about a year, and then she's still in San Diego, but she's not at Alliance anymore.
Ooh, what happened?
She wanted different things, I think. Like, she wanted to kind of put different parts of her camp together, and she liked certain coaches in the area, and she liked the area. But yeah, it was just like a kind of like a gym thing. Like, she liked our head coach, but she also wanted, like, a coach from another gym and a coach from another gym. So it just made more sense for her to put her own camp together instead of trying to get it all together.
Caldwell was killing it over there. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I think he just had a couple losses and was like, I need to switch it up, you know, like, and I wasn't super surprised because when he came to our gym, it was literally like a day after he had lost to that guy. He guillotined him. I think it was somebody, I forget his name, but he got guillotined. It was like his first loss or something.
Yeah, by the kid from Guam, right? The kid from Guam.
Yeah, yeah. And he showed up to our gym like that Monday. I was just like, whoa, what the fuck? What are you doing? Didn't you just fight? And he's like, yeah, trying to get better. So I think he's one of those people where if he feels things are getting stagnant, he just ups and moves. And yeah, he's about to fight soon, I think. I think he's going to be on one of the next Bellator once they get up and running.
Fighting AJ McKee for $1 million.
Yeah, so that's a nasty fight, man. So, like, yeah, I wish the best for him. Like, he left on good terms. Like, I think I'm just hoping he's getting what he needs. But, yeah, that's going to be – and he's just, like, one of those, like, athlete-type people. Like, he can – do crazy shit just as soon as he gets to the gym. No need to warm up, he's just doing like crazy like acrobatics and shit. Like he's definitely like one of those kind of specimen fighters. So so is AJ McKee, so I'm like, this is gonna be a crazy fight.
Now Angie, Greg, I want to get your opinion on this too. Sometimes I have a tough time as a podcaster and because I like to be friends. I'm a people pleaser. I hate this, to my downfall. I want everyone to like me, which is a hard thing to do when you're a fucking comic and you're making fun of people. Like, I try to do it in a way where I'm like, even sometimes I remember I called you like one of the members of the Jackson 5 or something, and then I like felt bad, and then I called you afterward. I'm like, hey, I made this joke about you. I hope you don't get offended. You're like, fine. You're like, it's fine. You're like, that's a great joke, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like a guy like Colby Covington, right? Where a guy, he's always been nice to me as a person. He always does the podcast. He called me after my mom died. He was like just a... But at the same time, he says these things where I'm just like, Brazilians are all filthy animals or this. And then you're just like things that I don't agree with. And it's hard sometimes to separate because other people are like, how could you be friends with a guy who's a bigot? I'm like, well, I think it's a character that he's doing to kind of ruffle feathers. This isn't the person that I know. And then I get into a situation where like where I've had a manager of a lot of fighters tell his clients to not do my show because I've had Colby on. And now that cut off 25 people. And I had to tell the manager, look, I don't want to censor people. That's not my job to police what they say. I don't agree with these people. But if I only had people on my show that I agree with, I'd have no fucking show.
Was that my manager?
No.
Sorry, hang up right now.
No, it's not your manager.
Oh, like, who did that? Who would say
if
that?
If you do the research of like him, of him saying things like anyway, but how are you able to deal with the person versus the character versus the Trump supporter in the person? Like, how do you deal with that?
I don't have any Trump supporter friends.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
Well, I was gonna say, well, that's one way to deal with it. That makes it pretty easy.
Fuck out of here, idiot. Yeah. No, I do. I have a couple, but you know, I just don't talk about those things with them because I feel like it's not going to change their mind. So I just avoid those topics with people whose minds aren't going to be changed. And I feel like that's just a healthier way to go about life, you know? Are you talking about someone specific from my gym?
No, just in general. I like to be able to have friends in all different areas. Yesterday, somebody hit me up and said, hey, just so you know, you're following this person and they're said the misogynistic person there on Twitter. And I was like, dude, like, I don't have, if I have to go, like, it's hard enough to police my own thoughts. I got to go.
It's like, how much contact tracing do we have to do?
I can't go back and start unfollowing people because of their fucking stupid thing. Like, what are we doing here? And then the person's like, well, just so you know, the girl accused me of not being a good ally to the women's movement. And then I started hitting up my followers saying, just so you know, Adam Hunter, says he's an ally to women, but he follows this person and this person.
Well, you need to block that shitster, you know? Like, yeah, block that person because honestly, like, whoever you choose to be friends with, that's your deal, you know? Well, like, nobody else can tell you who to associate with.
And even if I don't agree with somebody, my thing is like avoidance is the worst thing you can do. I like to know where people stand on things. Like, so yeah. I'm not gonna agree with Colby, but at least I'll hear him out and what he says. Greg, what's your suggestion? I mean, because you have friends that are comics that are across the board.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't help the way prejudiced people look at things. And with Colby specifically, I remember he talked trash about that manager. So, yeah. I mean, I can see where the manager, you know, was then like, oh, you know, fuck you and fuck that. So,
who's the manager?
Ali.
Asshole. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And Colby really laid into him. So.
But it was even before that. It was like years before that because I had a Colby on the show and I booked Bilal and I was like Bilal and I knew Bilal and all of a sudden I got Bilal's representative saying I can't do it on the show. And I'm like, what? And then Ali was like, yeah, you support a guy who, and I'm like, come on, like.
Yeah, but you're a talk show, so if you're not bringing on guests that are gonna get clicks and get views and asking them questions people wanna ask them, then what else? It's not like you're, yeah. I don't know. It's not like you're like, I don't know. I don't even know how that would have anything to do with him or his fighters. So
He just took it personally, and obviously he said those things on this show. So he's
I've been blocking so many of his accounts I've been blocking so many of his accounts since the Gadelha fight. Like his fake accounts have come out like, oh, you didn't win. It's like, oh, shit, get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah, like she has my money. Like that should be enough of your satisfaction.
Anybody should respect somebody who's open-minded. It's Ali because it seems like his past is like, whoa. And a lot of people are like giving him a pass on a lot of shit that you're just like, what happened?
Yeah.
and those are actions versus like Colby, which seems to, I like that's the thing about Colby.
It's all talk. Yeah.
The thing is like, it came out, he never even voted before. Like, they traced his voting record. He never voted.
Like, he literally. That's so funny.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Now Kobe is an idiot but at the same time, like you're supposed to have idiots on your show. It's a comedy show. So like I would never like judge you for that.
Well, and that's the thing, when he does it, it just feels like wrestling. It's hype shit. He's got all the fake names going and everything, and it feels like hype shit. No one's watching it, I think, and going, you know, this guy makes a lot of good political points.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you get what he's doing.
I think he should practice his lines a bit better.
Oh, no.
Get like an acting coach or something.
You know what I'm talking about? People like, in general, like, okay, for example, this happened 2 days ago. Like, Aubrey Huff. I know Aubrey Huff, who's a baseball player who's like beyond a Trump supporter. I mean, he's like, says all this outlandish shit. I know him. I went to a charity function. I met this guy, and he couldn't have been nicer. He told me how he was a Christian and this, and he found Jesus. And he was so nice to me and my wife and our kids. But I didn't know anything about him. Then I Google his name, and I'm like, oh, wow. That's, you know. But like, so that's the only interaction I had with him, and he came to my show. So somebody asked me, hey, they said, hey, listen, my cousin had a kid. The kid passed away after 3 days. And they're fucking heartbroken, this and that. Huge baseball player. Do you know any baseball people that can make a video? I know you know Aubrey Huff. So I reached out to him yesterday. Within 3 seconds, I got a video from Aubrey Huff, like saying, sorry about your son. Just a really nice, heartfelt thing. Like, and then I see today he's trending on Twitter for saying something about, I don't know, something women or, I didn't even read it. It's like, I reached out to my other friend who knew somebody, and I was like, hey, can you do this? Who's like the most liberal fucking Joe Biden guy. Well, who exactly is this person to you? And why should I, and can you write an email? And then I sent I got another email, and I'm just like, fuck. Like, but like, I feel like Colby's the one of those guys that if I legitimately asked him for something like that, he would do it in 3 seconds. You know,
yeah,
sometimes people could be really good people, but they just have shitty politics.
Or, exactly, or just shitty personas, you know. But yeah, I feel like a lot of the people that, because I was a fan before I became a fighter, so I didn't know anyone like going onto the show or anything, and I felt like a lot of the people that I talked mad shit about like before I was a fighter, I'll meet them in person, I'm like, oh my god, this person is so sweet. They're so nice, they're so accommodating, like they're so humble, and it's totally different. Like the first time I met Ronda Rousey was on the show, and she was super fucking cool, and like before the show I was like, man, look at her, she's all cocky, she thinks she can knock out Mayweather, like she's a bitch, she's so mean when she like fights people, and she was so mean to Misha, and it's like meeting Ronda Rousey was so much cooler than meeting Misha Tate, you know, so
right.
So yeah, like you never know what a person actually is like just because like you know them from TV or you know them from the internet. So yeah, I actually met a good friend of Colby Covington's through a friend, and we were just like sitting and having dinner, and she's like, oh hey, you're in the UFC? Oh, my friend's in the UFC, his name's Colby Covington. I'm like like, oh shit. But the girl was really nice. I'm like, okay, so he has this really cool friend, she's really pretty, nice girl or whatever, and I'm like, okay, well if she's associated with him and she's like a super cool down to earth person, then he must be a super cool down to earth person to somebody, you know.
You know, 100%. I honestly feel like,
so, yeah,
I feel like a lot of people, like a lot of, like, I live in California, New York, they assume people in like the quote-unquote red states are like just, you know, all MAGA people, blah blah blah, and walking around, and someone who's been to every state, that's not the case at all. And a lot of these people are that I know personally are just like the nicest. They're the people that if your car was broken down on the highway, they would come over and help you with your car, and like, yeah, it's like, to me that's worth that means a lot to me when someone actually, like, it would Aubrey making that video in 3 seconds, that meant a lot, you know, regardless, yeah, of his of his opinions on women.
On women. What did he do? Did he rape someone?
No. He just, I don't know what he said. He said something stupid like, you know, hey, why don't we go to the Middle East and take some of those women over there and get them and take off the burqas? Or some stupid,
oh my god,
some stupid joke that I'm sure, like, when I tell a joke and then when you read a joke on Twitter, a lot of times it's not the same. It's not how the person meant it. And if you're not a professional, Greg, comedian, even if you are a professional, it can get fucked up. If you're
still
not,
gotta be careful. Yeah.
Oh my god! One of the funniest things ever, Angela, you did before we let you go is when Kimbo Slice's guy Dada was fighting in a trigon.
Oh yeah.
They had an actual triangle, and they're like,
yeah,
battle in the like, it's not, I don't think a real word, a trigon, but it was like, and then you said, well, let trigons be trigons. I was laughing for like 2 weeks myself. And I was also like mad that I didn't think of that. I'm like,
oh, yeah. Oh. No, half of your tweets, I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that first? Like, oh. Yeah, I love stupid pun jokes.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way. So who do you want to fight next?
Watterson, man, like I think that'd be a good matchup. She's one of the ranked people I haven't fought yet, and yeah, I like that style. I think I can track her down in that small cage if it's Apex, so everything about that matchup I like. And she's down. Usually when I call people out, there's radio silence, but she actually went on Hawani's show and I think he drug it out of her, but she still responded. She was like, yeah, that'd be a lovely fight. So I think it would be lovely too. Her words, not mine, but
lovely. The way you're bleeding from the nose is lovely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'd be down for that. I'm excited for that maybe happening.
I love it. Well, thank you, Angela, for taking the time to be on the show. Good luck with everything. Have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Right on. You're the best. Тонгийн сонс төг хөгжим дур бодлаа. Даа дас тоотан дур бодлаа.